It's the Steve Cochran Show at 6:39, and Chuck Todd is standing by. There are 535 members of Congress, so here's what we do. Boeing 777 can fit them all. It'd be a tight squeeze, but they could all be fit there. So I'm recommending we have a 777 standby, and for the next shooting, and there will be one, every member of Congress gets on the plane and they fly to where that shooting is, and they look in the face of the people that have lost people they love, or if people in the hospital that were shot, or just have people in their lives that were terrified, and they look them in the eye and they explain why they haven't done anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's too many people in this administration have been taking expensive flights for no good reason. That's a flight that I think has good reason.
I think that's an excellent idea.
6:40, Chuck Todd hosts Meet the Press, the 1947 podcast, and the longest-running show on television is Meet the Press. And, of course, you can see Chuck on MTP Daily on MSNBC. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Steve.
It's heartbreaking, and nobody needs to feel sorry for us, but I don't have anything new to say here.
No, I mean, it's you would think if you had 18, imagine this, 18 Cessna all crashed.
Yep.
You had 18 Cessna plane crashes, not big plane crashes, 18 of them in the first 45 days of this calendar year. You think there'd be hearings on the Hill? How about 18 malfunctions of a Chevrolet Silverado?
Right.
That caused those trucks to explode.
Right.
You think we'd have hearings on the Hill? We've had 18 school shootings in the first 45 days of this calendar year. Okay? We have a problem. Obviously, there's the mental health issue. But obviously, there's the easy access to a gun when you have a mental health issue.
Right.
Like, we've got to realize you can't talk about one without the other. It just is not possible.
I
don't know what more. Every one of these things, I'm not an FBI profiler. We've all figured this out. Troubled young men. We know what it is. Why is it so easy for them to get a gun?
And continues to be. And why is it that the 535 members of Congress, and by the way, the good ones don't get off on this, because guess what? You're not making enough noise either.
Right.
So why is it that the 535 haven't been able to step up against the NRA? Is it because your job is so great and your free trips to other parts of the world and your $185,000 a year is so great that you don't have to look yourself in the mirror in the morning? I don't understand it, Chuck. I don't understand the character that goes with this.
I don't know on conscience and shame. I can't crawl inside. I don't know why they don't feel that. Some of these folks don't feel that. Well, let me just go to the raw politics of it. Until somebody loses an election for having too pro-gun of a position, this is not going to change. That's the issue here, because It has been proven politically toxic to vote for gun control.
But it is a character issue.
Many players.
Listen.
No. I agree that it is. I don't disagree with you. I'm just talking about the raw politics here, Steve. You're asking, when is it going to change? It only changes when somebody's pro-gun position becomes a liability, not an asset.
And, you know, take the AR-15. Okay, because what's the argument going to be? Well, no. It's a slippery slope. I'm going to lose my gun. Stop it. Right. Just stop
right.
it. There is no threat to the Second Amendment.
Are you aware that the AR-15 is the most, I believe, it is now the number one selling firearm.
1.5 million a year.
Not a handgun. AR-15. There are so many. I mean, there's probably more AR-15s in this country than there are in the Israeli army.
Think about that.
The loopholes are similar to it. The loopholes are sickening. Chuck, we had a press conference with our superintendent a week ago. This is before one of our police commanders was shot and killed by an extended magazine clip by a convicted felon bought illegally, allegedly. But these loopholes, there was one, and Steve, we were talking about this, that a carjacking suspect has to know that the car was stolen in order to be charged with the crime.
It's just outrageous.
No, the gun laws that the NRA has had written in, the little caveats that basically make it so much actually harder to prosecute a gun trafficking crime sometimes because of the extra amount of search warrants and all that. It is look, this is the price of us enshrining this in our Constitution, right? You know, when
yeah, but here's the thing, Chuck. It is the thing that drives me nuts. The founding fathers,
that is the difference between us and every other
civilization. I get it. But
they didn't enshrine it. Yeah.
The founding fathers didn't sit around and write the Second Amendment with the idea that someday a mentally ill person should be guaranteed the freedom to shoot up a school. That didn't happen.
Right. No, I give our founding fathers credit. It's amazing how relevant the Constitution remains, how they anticipated so many things. But this is one, it's hard to imagine they knew fully how, they knew fully the impact of what they were doing on this one, right? This is one where they didn't foresee the technology. They didn't foresee the modernization. They didn't foresee what would happen when people use these against each other in a more consistent manner. And that's what's happening.
And this is why it is so vitally important that you get up and go out and vote in your primaries. Ours is coming up. Is it the 20th of March?
Yes.
On March 20th. And across this country, you have to vote in a primary. You have to, if you want to make a difference, you got to vote in the primary. You got to spend 10 minutes online educating yourself on the candidates on your ballot. And literally, you can do it in 10 minutes.
Early voting is open, by the way, right now. You can vote today.
So it's just outrageous. I sorry about the awkward transition, but I got to switch you to the other part of the stories that are out there today, and that's what's going on in the White House in regards to the defense of the former secretary to the president and whether or not Kelly's going to stay on as chief of staff. Is there anything new there?
Look, the new is what we reported overnight, that as of November, dozens of officials that still were on temporary security clearances, including Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump, and Don McGahn, the White House counsel. The point is, there is no way you could be White House counsel without looking at the top secret, most super secret clearance that you need to have. And he didn't have it. And it just shows that there were how many people were getting top secret clearance with temporary status. And you know, look, there's a lot of people focused on the Jared Kushner issue, because he's under investigation, and it appears he's under multiple investigations now, with word that the IRS is now looking into what some investors did. That is a total separate issue from the probe. So, look, we know how we got to this situation, right? How did we get to this situation, Steve? Nobody wants to work for Donald Trump.
Yep.
And the people that do, most of them aren't accepted because they didn't. They were against Donald Trump in the primary, so they're not allowed to be in. So what you're left with are people with questionable backgrounds who couldn't get jobs in previous administrations, some because of competence issues and some because of background check issues. But now, when you're left with sort of the remnants of the C team in the Republican Party, because either you're eliminating good people because they endorsed Ted Cruz, or good people don't want to work for you, this is what you're stuck with. And this is how they got themselves in this situation. Poor staffers applying, poor staffers involved in vetting, and the combination is a lethal mess.
It's easy to lump all the Republicans into this mess in Washington, including obviously the gun story. But Chuck, you called this a year or two ago when we were talking about this. Mike Madigan is the last political boss of any state in the country. And Mike Madigan is now, and we'll get into the facts of this with Pat Brady coming up, but Mike Madigan protected one of his own in a remarkably similar timeline to the Trump-Kelly story as it went on. And this particular individual was finally fired. But Madigan, by all accounts, knew about this going back to November. And the Democrats here in the state legislature continued to protect him.
You know, it's interesting when guys like Madigan finally get fall, right? When they get their comeuppance, whatever it is, it's usually something small in some ways, and small is not the maybe right word, but something, you know, they've been trying to get him in so many other ways, right? And how did they get him? They didn't get him. He got himself, right? His own cockiness, his own hubris, his own belief that he probably I run everything in the state of Illinois in Democratic politics. I'll dictate who stays and who goes, right? It's sort of, you get to that sort of, that complex. I think actually John Kelly has a similar complex. You know, I'll be honest. I think so many people overly revere him or at least in a phony way, because he's a former retired four-star general, that it gives you this complex. And Madigan strikes me as somebody that it's almost like the more people went after him and failed, the more cocky he grew. And when you're that cocky and you think you're indestructible, then you make stupid, bad decisions like he did in protecting his aide.
Has anybody, to bring it back to the beginning here, has anybody stepped up in Congress yet other than the usual suspects to talk about guns?
No, not at all. But let me leave you with this. Best thing that happened yesterday is the president didn't speak. I know there's been all this
conversation.
The president speak. And I'm sitting here going, you know what? What would he have added to the situation?
Right.
He doesn't do empathy well. When he reads off a teleprompter, it doesn't look real. He would not have helped the situation. There's an argument he would have made the situation worse. This is a case where doing nothing might have actually been the right call.
1,000%. Couldn't agree more. It's Chuck Todd, MTP Daily, the tremendous podcast, 1947, which I highly recommend, when you're not listening to the podcast of this show. And, of course, Meet the Press Sunday morning. Thank you, my friend.